You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Bischoff and Brown right here on the Detroit Lions Podcast. He's Scott Bischoff. I'm Russ Brown. I just realized I'm messing with Ash's visuals right now because you're not on this on the right side of the screen. I'm not on the left side of the screen, so this might look a little jacked up, but that's okay. We're back. He's Scott Bischoff. I'm Russ Brown. Welcome in, Scott, my man. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited. We got the mock draft simulator edition of the show today that we're going to do a quick 7-round mock draft for the Lions, which you guys can see pulled up here in the window. And we're going to have some fun just talking about some players. And we're probably going to get into a lot of different players because we're going to see how the board shapes up. But we're going to go 7 rounds, normal draft speed, only picking for the Lions. So we'll kind of see what happens. But real quickly, there was some news since the last time we spoke. And that news is Cam Sutton is released from the Detroit Lions. Maybe we're your new source. Maybe you haven't been paying attention to the national media or anything like that. But Cam Sutton released after an incident that happened on March 7th, early in the morning at like 4 or 5 in the morning, something like that. He was in a domestic dispute with a female and is wanted for domestic violence and aggravated assault. And I think a couple of other things as well. But he's been in hiding. Nobody knows where he's at. And it's very surprising because the Lions really, I mean, have had a great offseason up until about that point. And I know Cam Sutton kind of leaves a bad taste in the mouth of, you know, the football player as far as what he did at the end of the season for people. But before that toe injury that he suffered, he was a pretty good player. And with the players that they've brought in, Amik Robertson, trading for Carlton Davis, you had Cam Sutton. It was looking like this secondary was going to be pretty solid, but now you lose this piece, and now you got some question marks as far as what's going to happen at cornerback in the coming weeks with, you know, whatever free agents are out there, or obviously within the draft. But what's your take here on Cam Sutton? Is he going to be found alive? What's going to happen here? And ultimately, what do you think happens with the cornerback position?
So, I mean, that's, you know, anytime stuff like this happens, it's, you always wonder. The worst possible thing is that he hurt himself, right? And football obviously takes a backseat to any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope he's okay, right? And that, I guess that's, I mean, that would be just the reasonable thing to think. But yeah. nobody's tuning in here to listen to that from us, from either of us.
Right.
So there's a football component of it. And, you know, I hope he's okay. Personally, you know, the Lions released him, and I don't know what's going to happen with any of the money, and I don't think any of that's relevant right now anyway.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, he's got obviously things that he needs to handle, and the Lions are no longer a part of the plan there. Clearly it takes them from a situation where you needed it. You needed some youth at the cornerback position already, and losing Sutton in this way places a bit of an emphasis on that. So right. I think if anything, it makes 29 maybe. There was a point the last show we did, we talked about how it was as wide open as it could possibly be for what they would do at 29, that it was just impossible to know. And if anything, I think it pencils in more, you know, more about the corner position than any other position. I wish him well and all that stuff from a human standpoint, but I worry that it's been so long that there's a bad outcome and bad news coming. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And, you know, obviously thoughts to the victim as well. I mean, nobody should have to go through this type of stuff. And it's unfortunate. But like you said, I don't think people came to listen to us talk about necessarily the specifics on this, but just wanted to bring it up because it did happen before free agency began. And then the Lions made that move for Carlton Davis and Robertson. So, maybe they've been preparing for life beyond Cam Sutton since March 7th. So, I think the plan in place for Detroit is they've got two strong contributors on the perimeter in the slot with Brian Branch and stuff like that too. So we'll see. I don't know. Maybe this doesn't change their draft plan at all because maybe they've been expecting it since March 7th. So
it's possible. I know that they came out and they said that they didn't know until it was released publicly. But I also then look at Amik Robertson's comments and think to myself, well, that's a very evasive answer. I don't know if anybody saw it, but he was asked basically what it was what was the plan for him in Detroit? Where's he going to play? And he made a comment about, and maybe I'm reading too much into this. Tell me, comment that he didn't know, or he did know, but that he didn't want to talk about it right then. And it was almost like, okay, now in hindsight, maybe they did know. And, you know, there was a plan to deal with this stuff. I have no idea. I don't want to wrap my head with too much aluminum foil this morning, but first of all, cause aluminum foil is expensive and you know, I have a giant head anyway. It just seems like the Robertson's comments are definitely, comments of a person who might've had some perspective into, hey, things have shaken up here more than we thought, and you're going to play a bigger role, but let's kind of keep it quiet. He didn't do a great job of that. So, I don't know. I mean, I think 29 is a good spot for corner. There are a bunch of safeties left in free agency. There are some corners. Kool-Aid McKinstry. I wanted to talk to you about this because Kool-Aid ran a 4.47, I believe, at his pro day.
Yep.
And if we project that, I think he's a low 4.5s in Indy runner. And I don't think specific to a Jones fracture, which is essentially the fracture. Straight line is all that awful with that kind of a fracture.
Right.
It probably is painful and it's probably difficult to do, right? But I don't know that it slowed him down any. So I don't think it's smart for us to be thinking about, oh, well, Kool-Aid's a 4.4 guy if his foot's good. I don't think so. I think you can run in a straight line and run your normal speed or really close to your normal speed with that kind of a fracture in the past. I don't think changing direction would be any fun at all with that kind of a problem, right? So I think his speed is what it is. I think he is a 4.5s, low 4.5s runner, which is plenty enough. The questions with him is he physical enough with his hands at the line of scrimmage to play in this press man system that they really want? And then, so that's what needs to be answered with him. But he's fully in theirs. I would say a player like Kool-Aid is fully in their sights.
Yep.
Whether or not to take him is another story, but there are other corners too. So, you know, if this forces their hand and makes them take a corner, or even get bold and maybe decide they want to go up, I'd be all for that too. You know, like,
yeah,
you know, there's this team is, I mean, the Zeitler signing happened after we spoke too. And it's like,
yeah,
like, wow.
The offensive line got better. They lost Jonah Jackson. They got better. Like,
yeah, I mean, this is a little bit of, and I don't want people to think about, yeah, I'm not dropping to my knees to blow Brad Holmes here, right? but the idea that he paid Glasgow and Zeitler like $12.5 million or whatever it was between the two of them this year, and Jonah Jackson got 17 from the Rams, right? Like, you know, it just, yeah. So, clearly they still need a left guard, prospect, or somebody to play left guard this year, because both Glasgow and Zeitler are right guards. I think Glasgow could play left guard.
Yeah.
But that's part of the equation too, is does it open the door for you to take one of these elite interior guys at 29? Maybe that's a possibility too. So
yeah,
as much as we just said, you know, or I just said about corner kind of coming into focus, I don't know that I believe the words coming out of my mouth. So take that for whatever it's worth.
Yeah. But I think the thing is too, like, you know, the Lions are going to take a guy. They're not going to force their hand into the need because of what we do here today on a mock draft simulator, or what a fan does on a simulator on a Tuesday afternoon or whatever. Yeah. They are going to get guys that contribute right away. Like, that's what they're looking to do. Get a guy that can play for you today and help you win right now. And that might be an interior offensive lineman. That might be a corner. That might be an edge rusher. We'll see what happens.
Could be a receiver.
Could be a trade up for a receiver. Could be a trade up for a corner. They've got flexibility still. But yeah, no, we wanted to touch base a little bit on Cam Sutton. I'm glad you brought up Zeitler, because I don't want to say I forgot, but I kind of forgot a little bit about just that signing because we were talking Cam Sutton. But let's jump into this 7-round mock draft. Let's get this going for everybody so they can see, you know, potentially what we think. And we're just going to play this at normal speed just so we can talk through different picks and stuff like that. But for everybody, you know, we have our normal players or our normal picks that we have, you know, pick 29 and stuff like that. So we'll see kind of what falls into place here. Maybe I should have gone fast. This is going really slow.
I don't know. To me, it's flying, but it's okay.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine.
Oh, I don't like Graham Barton getting drafted or Jimmy
Christian Powell. Haynes in the first round.
Who?
Christian Haynes went to the Vikings at 23.
Oh,
so we got some trade offers. First one to me, that's an automatic no. I don't care about the future picks.
No.
I think that's pretty intriguing. I don't like giving up.
I would say, okay, so pick 31, even pick 35. Who's on the board right now that we could, that we cannot, we just would be totally bummed if we missed?
So the Pro Football Network simulator has Johnny Newton, Byron Murphy, both available. The bunch of receivers here, Kingsley Sumaitea, Jordan Morgan, Zach Frazier, Kamari Lassiter, Cooper Beebe.
Cooper Beebe. I got to add him to the list of players when we do our O-line group, because that's, wow, we could be 15 deep. Can we filter him out? And go, look, can we see what the cornerback group looks like?
Yeah, buddy. I'm all for Kamari Lassiter. I'm on that train all day, but I know I'm probably the odd guy out on that.
No, I mean, it's okay. I think, yeah, it's fine. Okay. What about Edge? Wow. Okay, so this is not good.
If we wanted to go defense, it's not good. But if we wanted to go, I mean, we still have defensive tackle staring us in the face. We have the two best in the draft.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Which I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. If Johnny Newton was there, I could see them going that route.
Yeah. And I like him as a player. I think he's a really good player.
Yeah.
So all of the interior guys, I think are, I mean, in this scenario, I think I would be looking at Zach Frazier.
Mm-hmm.
I also understand that Cooper Beebe should be in that mix too. Like, so it's, to me, it's Frazier or Beebe. And then, God, there's a bunch of receivers. I almost would say we would just allow receiver to just fall to us in the next round kind of thing.
Yeah.
What about, So it looks like Johnny Newton or Byron Murphy.
One's injured, one's not.
Yeah, maybe we just need to dial in at a corner just because, you know, that's kind of like where we've agreed to get to.
Yeah. I mean, do we take that trade back?
That's what I'm thinking is you move back a couple spots and maybe even go back multiple spots to the Arizona and get pick 66. Because there's, you know, I would take Chris Abrams, Drain, or Lassiter there, and I think they'll be there at 35.
Okay.
I would take either of those guards, those interior offensive linemen, and I think one of them will be there at 35.
Yeah. Well, no, if we took the corner at 35, then we would have pick 63, 66, and like 73 or whatever it is.
Yeah, let's do that.
And we could get that.
We're just pulling around.
Yeah.
Don't get pissed that we took a trade.
So far, this is working out very well. No corner has gone.
Yeah. All right.
Still more trade offers. They just pop up all the time.
We don't want to move back again. Because then I think it's totally unrealistic. Exactly. But yeah, that was great for us. All the corners that we were thinking about are still there.
Byron Murphy still didn't go, but I think that's unrealistic. I don't think he's there at 35 at all.
No, I don't
think he's there at pick 29.
I don't think so either. I could see Newton be in there because he's got the broken foot.
Right.
All right. So to me, it's corner or interior O-line. And if there's one of these players that you like more than another, like it's BB or Frazier to me. But I think that, okay. So I guess where I am is this. I like, and I'm gonna let you choose. God, that sounded disrespectful. I don't mean it to be.
You doing me? You're good.
I like, Abrams Drain more than I like anybody on that list right now.
Yep.
But looking at his ranking, I know he'll be there in the 60s. So I would say let's just let him fall into the 60s, and we'll take him there. And let's take one of these interior O line players, or you know, edge, whatever.
Yep. No, but I'm with you.
If you think Lassiter is a significant upgrade over Abrams Drain, which I could see. If you think he is, then I think we should just take him here.
No, I'm with you. I think like when I look at the corners, and I would love Kamari Lassiter in the spot, but I'm with you on Abrams Drain. I think he's a perfect fit. The player comparison I have for him is actually Cam Sutton, but I like Max Melton quite a bit. One of my favorite players in the draft. We'll be talking about Renardo Green in a little while. I think that's a fine fit. So I'm fine.
I don't want to say Sainra Steele. I don't know where you're at with him, but that dude is just, he is a really good football player. Right. So I think we let corners slip a little and find value in round two range and solidify Frazier or Beebe, your choice.
I think Frazier. I think you bring in the guy that can play guard center, and not saying Beebe can't, but, I would be going Zach. To me, Zach Frazier. That's the direction I'm going.
Book it. Yep.
All right. Zach Frazier, you are Detroit Lion.
Perfect.
I could have seen Kingsley Sumaitea too. You know, Cousins with
Yeah.
Panay, but.
Yeah. And I like his tackle guard versatility more so. Like, Frazier's more guard center.
Right.
It's interesting because there's a bunch of combo players this year like that.
Yep.
All right, Roman Wilson just got picked, and now I'm a little pissed about it.
That sucks. I think he could be sooner than 62. We got a trade offer from the Chargers, pick 69 and a fifth. I don't think so. There's no value in that.
Yeah.
And there's no way you're jumping 30 spots, even if you are getting a second-round pick. I don't think so.
No. With you.
All right. Going to all Michael Penix, Trey Benson, Rake Straw is still there. Michael Hall is very intriguing.
He is.
I don't know what you do with him because of his weight. I mean, he's only like 290, sub 290, but he is fast, explosive, a true three tech. But he falls into like that Ohio State, and I don't want to do that because that's scouting the helmet. But I just think back to the, you know, years back, they had a player that was similar to him. Undersized, super fast and explosive. I think his name was like Michael Bennett or something like that.
Yeah, they've had a bunch of guys like in that profile, like undersized D tackles who don't work in the NFL, but
yeah,
productive, not productive, but like, you know, interior rushers.
Right.
Okay. There's some, to me, there are a couple of really interesting names at the receiver position. The first one is Pearsall.
Yeah.
I think he's really, really good.
Yep.
In terms of what the Lions and Jared Goff likes.
Yeah, and I think that's important though, because I think you need, I mean, Pearsall always, I think, gets labeled like this small slot receiver, and it's like he's not that small. He's like 6'1", 190. Like he's an
outside player who's gonna run really efficient routes. He's gonna be exactly where he needs to be, and then when you get the ball in his hands, he's got some breakaway speed where he's dangerous. And I think that, you know, there's some danger there. But
I think we
picked 66 too, which is the reason why that trade made so much sense.
Yep. I think we go the receiver route and we see what falls at 66. I think the corner comes into play. I mean, there's some talented defensive tackles here. I don't think some of these guys aren't going to be available. I don't think Fisk will.
Yeah.
And even at edge, I mean, you could, you know, I don't think Nealon's going to be even available at 61, to be completely honest with you.
No, I don't think he will either. And to me, he's kind of like a steal there. But so Malachi Corley is Debo-like.
Yeah.
If people want to think about just the mentality of which he plays. But I think that from an offensive flow standpoint, Pearsall's good.
I'm on board 100%.
Okay. Cool.
Ricky Pearsall.
All right. Rake Straw just went.
Yep.
Which is okay for us. Is there Abrams Drain gone? Did he get?
No. He's still available. So is Max Melton. I think Abrams Drain makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So we made a trade to go back from 29. We got Frazier and Abrams Drain. My perspective is that either one of those guys at 29, and I'm happy. We got both.
Yeah. So Abrams Drain at 66, correct? That's what you want? That's what I want. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think we're at this point in time. I mean, if Brad Holmes wants to call us, kidding. And just tell us how we made this happen.
He could call us.
Yeah. I could pour coffee for, you know, as long as they wanted me to.
Yep. I'll grab any bag in the building, whatever you need me to do.
All right. So I don't think Marshawn Nealon could possibly be there at this pick, but
no.
Yeah, Fisk I think makes sense. You know, I think we don't need really.
I'll be honest, the edges on this list outside of Nealon, and again, I don't think he's going to be there. Dorless, maybe, but I don't think any of these guys fit what Detroit's looking for. like at all. Brennan Jackson out of Washington State, maybe, because he's like 6'6", 275. But
yeah,
like they have a type of player that they're looking for at defensive end. And it's like guys that can play 5, 4 eye, bump out to, you know, a little 7 at times. Yeah. But other than that, like they're not looking for 6'2", 235 pound guys. They're just not.
No. I mean, that's the only way that I would say that they would be maybe thinking in that, in terms of that, is if they were to go more 5-man fronts, which
yeah,
I think it can at times, but they have James Houston. Do you think Fisk has a chance to be there at this point?
I really don't. I mean, I could be wrong because he's got the short arms and maybe that scares people, but what he's done through the pre-draft process, like, I don't see him being there at 61. Like, I think when you look at the teams in front, that's why I'm looking on the left side here, like, all these teams that could potentially look at a defensive tackle, like Byron Murphy going at 41, not realistic. So is Fisk going at 41, you know? You look at the Commanders and everything they've done with their defensive line. Do they really go with Keon Coleman at 40 when they already have Terry McLaurin and all those guys? I don't think so. Like,
yeah, and this is the flaw of, you know, the whole mock draft simulator thing. But
right, and I'm looking at players that potentially would make sense. That's why I'm kind of hesitant on clicking Fisk. I think Dwayne Carter's really interesting. I mean, I think he kind of fits what we're looking for.
So, is there any planet in which you might consider doubling up on the interior O line?
That's what I was looking at. That's what I'm thinking. Like,
here's one dude who I would draft all day long right now.
I know who.
That guy.
We can do it. I'm down. I think it's a smart plan. You build the trenches for the future. I mean, we have Pearsall who will make, you know, some impact plays. Abrams Drain should get some contributions there. Frazier, we kind of hope he doesn't play, but if he does, that's okay.
Yeah, but it's, you know, Glasgow signed like a 2-year deal, right?
Right.
We don't know what's going on with Ragnow. Wouldn't stun me if he was done in 2 years.
Exactly.
No, the idea to streamline this and have players in place ready to roll right now.
I can click McCormick, right? Real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm going to let that run.
Yeah. No, I mean, I like that a lot. So you added to me two of the, I mean, we should have taken Sainra still if he was there. I don't think he's not going to be there.
But are they really going to take a guy that's more of a nickel? I mean, I think he can play on the outside personally, but is he, you know, they already have Robertson, who's 5'9".
Yeah.
They have Brian Branch, who's more of a slot safety type guy.
Yeah.
Are they going to really load with slot corners? I don't think so. I mean, maybe, but
I don't think so either. I just think that in the end, when you look at, like, find me the best football player who fits us in round, at the end of round 2 or round 3, and he's definitely going to be in that conversation. But I get it. I mean, it's, you know, it's, we're good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is it rolling?
It's still rolling. It's just showing our picks right now with Frazier, Pearsall, Abrams Drain, and McCormick. I don't think it's unrealistic of what we've spent so far to go that route. And I guess I should have thought of this beforehand, the huge gap that the Lions have, you know, from day 2 to day 3, it's a pretty massive gap. So I like, they have pick 61 and 73 realistically. I think they're going to trade out of one of those picks, to be completely honest with folks, but
yeah, no, and I think you're right to grab, to fill the gap.
Yep, and get an earlier day 3 pick. They'll still keep the day two pick. Like, they'll take 73 and move to 85 or whatever and get a 4th round pick, and they'll be content with that. And I think that's okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of names on the list though right now, like Gabe Hall from Baylor, Christian Boyd from Northern Iowa. Both of these guys fit for later defensive tackles.
Yeah.
Jerrion Jones out of Florida State. He's good. He looks a little limited compared to his teammate, Renardo Green. Trey Taylor, safety from Air Force. I could see the Lions taking a liking to him.
There's your Brennan Jackson dude from Washington State, too. I think he fits.
Yeah. And we are on the clock at pick 201. No trade offers. We have another pick at 205. For me, I would be targeting these two guys, Taylor and Jackson, all day long. If it was me. Yeah.
Trey Taylor would come in and likely be, all right, you're going to play special teams for us to get on the field now.
Yep.
Develop. Because he's still, you know, he's still in the, you know, he still would be four deep for sure.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. If you wanted to take Jerry and Jones, I could understand that too, but Taylor's fine. You know, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I could see them, signing a veteran safety,
right.
You know, in the next couple weeks. Yeah, or even, you know, if I'm a veteran safety right now, I'm not doing anything until after the draft because I don't want to sign somewhere where, you know, all right, you took a safety in round, you took, you know, Newbin in round two or whatever, three, and now I'm behind him and I would have never signed here knowing that. So,
right.
I mean, it'll take some time for that to resolve, but, I mean, you know, I'm going to defer to you on this. If you think Taylor is that guy and makes sense there.
Yeah. I think Brennan Jackson makes just a little bit more sense just to ensure that we get him because, you know, we saw the list of edge rushers and kind of type. He was the player I circled as he fits Detroit. And I'm going to kind of go back to that and say if they passed on an edge rusher, you know, at 73 and the guy that they wanted was late in the draft on day three, then I think Jackson would be that player.
Boom. So
that's going to be the guy. I was looking at receiver, and Trey Taylor is still there, so that works. But wide receiver, where are you with Anias Smith? Have you, or Anias Smith, I don't know how to say his name, but the receiver out of A&M, I don't know if you've watched him at all, but...
A little bit. I mean, enough that I like him as a player. We're at a point in the draft, though, where, you know, I mean, these are... super developmental guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's a good route runner. He's athletic. He's, you know.
Yeah, I'm not saying like we need a bunch of receivers. I look at him and I'm like, pick 205. If he's there, he was poorly used in that offense. He was like at times an H-back, at times a fullback. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Aligning all over the place, and I think alignment versatility is important. But I think he's pretty explosive with the ball in his hands. I think he could make some sense possibly on day three, but we can pass.
So let's talk about their room. So it's Amon-Ra, it's Jameson. They have Antoine Green from last year, I mean, we hope there's development happening. We added Pearsall.
Yep.
It's Khalif Raymond, who's smaller and fast. So you're still
missing... signed Peoples Jones.
Right. So you're still missing maybe a player that you can design screens for, right? Like you're missing an element of I don't want to say vertical playmaking, because I think Pearsall gives you that, and obviously Jameson does.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we think Smith is a player who you can use in a variety of ways, I think that makes sense. The alignment, versatility, and all those things is good for him because he's going to have to move around. Whoever they bring in a receiver, not necessarily Pearsall, but if they're bringing in somebody in round six, that player is going to have to, they're going to have to be able to do a bunch of different things.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, do we go with the more of traditional X receiver? I mean, we're going to be talking about Xavier Leggett possibly in a little bit. Cornelius Johnson, is he a guy that makes a little bit of sense here? As
you want a dude who's a great blocker and is going to help you in a variety of ways, yeah, that's
kind of fits, right?
He does, and he's never. I don't think he's ever going to be a super productive guy, but special teams give you everything he's got, effort, all that stuff. Yeah, he fits for sure.
I think that's the one I'm going to circle too. I think double down at receiver. One player to circle on for folks out there, Bub Means out of Pittsburgh.
Fast.
I mean, he's built like a like a big possession slot receiver, but he runs, you know, a sub 4.45 40, had a 39.5-inch vertical at 6'1", 212. Like, he's built really well, and he has pretty good tape. Like, he was pretty impressive on tape from some of the stuff that I saw. So he might be a day three option for Detroit if they were to do that trade back at like 73 or something.
So we're going to talk about this more in the coming weeks. We're going to dedicate like a long wide receiver eval thing. In that, we're going to discuss Brad Holmes and his desire to bring in an archetype or a prototype. And if you look at Tyrell Williams, you look at Breshad Perriman, you look at Josh Reynolds, you look at some of the players who they've tried to bring in and work, they're all like 6'2", 6'3" plus. They're all a little more linear. They're all fast.
Yeah. Right?
That's exactly what Bub Means is. That's exactly what he is. So as much as, you know, all I'm saying is that for where they are, it wouldn't stun me if he was around late. Like, he could be like the Antoine Green of this class.
Right.
Just because he fits what Holmes has tried to get to in the past.
Yeah. No, I think I think that's a great point.
Well, we'll see. All right, who do we want to draft and develop at this point?
Yeah, I mean, this is the board so far: Frazier, Pearsall, Abrams, Drain, McCormick, Jackson, and Johnson. Feels very Detroit Lion like, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, what is the tackle? It's always good to develop these. You know,
I think Travis Glover's
the guy.
He would be the guy. I don't know why he's so far down on this board.
I don't either. That guy has played all over. He's huge. He has played all over at Georgia State. He's tested well. I know he's got top 30 visits. He had one. He's got a bunch. He had one in Pittsburgh like a week ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. It's just, do we want to try to find a defensive player? Because it seems like we've been pretty focused on offense, which is fine. And is there anybody worth, you know?
Well, Solomon Bird from USC is interesting. He was at the Shrine Bowl, and he had a very good Shrine Week. He's got, when he does it right, I mean, he has an explosive first step, and, you know, he's a little bit on the shorter side, but he's, you know, 255 pounds. So, you know, essentially 6'3", almost 34-inch arms. I think if they were looking for another pass rusher, maybe to pair with James Houston, he might maybe fall into that type of player. I think he makes some sense there if they were looking at pass rusher. Do they go back into the secondary here? Do they go with a linebacker? They drafted a linebacker every single year.
I mean,
McGee's an intriguing player.
What do you think of Gibbs?
Huh?
Gibbs.
I haven't watched him. Is he a player that makes some sense? I mean,
to me, all these guys are special teams sort of only at this point in time.
Gotcha. Okay.
I think corner and safety is always a smart approach for that.
There's that CFL kid.
Yeah. Yeah, he makes sense.
Dwight McLaurin. I could see this guy. I didn't know he was this far down.
He was
like at the 200s before. He's a fun player to watch on.
Yeah, I would say he would at this. Yes, this is the guy. That's the guy.
Yeah, I think that is definitely intriguing. 6'1", 185, ran a 4.47. Not overly explosive as far as vertical. Probably some limitations, but we're talking a development seventh round pick. So
yeah,
I think that's the guy.
In a position in a room that needs a little bit of, you know, they need bodies.
Yeah. Well, and they tend to do that, right? They find guys that are late in the draft, undrafted free agents, and that's it. I mean, that's the mock draft right there. Frazier, Pearsall, Abrams, Drain, McCormick, Brennan Jackson, Cornelius Johnson, Dwight McLeather.
So we feel like we have given them interior offensive line help for years with some unknown. I mean, Zeitler's here on a one-year deal. Ragnow is, you know, the injuries are catching up. Glasgow's here to me on a two-year deal. And it's never a bad thing to bolster, especially with this quarterback. You need to bolster the interior. You really do.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Sewell's here in the long term. They're going to re-sign him and pay him, you know, they're going to give him the moon. I don't know what Decker's essentially on the last year of his contract, but they're going to, I think that an extension for him is coming, you know, maybe a 3-year kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we've bolstered the interior of the offensive line, given that with all the position versatility with the players we've added, we've given the wide receiver room a jump. I think that Abrams-Drain is a player that's going to challenge. It's always tough in year one to challenge to start, but I think he's going to be a player that's going to show up in spots.
Yep.
And I would say year two for him, he's probably a starting corner.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've helped there. And then a couple flyers, Brennan Jackson is a player. I mean, you know, they need edge help. There's help there. I like what we did. It's good. It's cool.
No, I'm with you. And I think it's one of those two where, like, we've kind of acknowledged that here at 73, 61, there could be a potential trade out just to kind of fill this gap between 73 and 201, maybe get a player at 145, 150 just to be safe.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe this is how they identify. We can get four guys that can contribute really early in their career. And then day three guys like Jackson, Johnson, and Dwight here, we get these guys and they are the developmental guys, the guys that are going to play special teams early on. They're going to compete. And maybe we get a diamond in the rough type of player. Maybe that's the mindset with seven picks here.
Possibly. I mean, I think the first four are players who are going to help you in the short term.
Yeah.
The last three are players who are going to be likely bottom 10 players on your 46 or on your 53. But, you know, the Lions are in a position where they've done a good enough job of developing and drafting and all that stuff that you're at a point where, you know, the bottom 15 players on your roster is what you're now looking at improving, right? And bringing in competition and all that stuff. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm with you. I think it's unlikely that the Lions would in this scenario. I mean, I could see the trade we made being something they do, but then I do think that they would take pick 73 or whatever it is and flip it for, you know, something that, like you said, in the 130s to 150s range.
Yep.
A couple in that range where you're feeling like, all right, we have two shots.
Yeah.
What is that? 128 picks is a long way to go.
Right. Without a pick.
It's just too long.
Right. Or if they do what they're doing, you know, they get maybe they only draft five players, you know, maybe they have those four picks, you know, from 35 to 73 or whatever. And then they take 201, 205, and 249 like they did last year for Broderick Martin and move up into the 170 range or whatever and get, you know, whoever there. So I think there's some options and you know, I think with Brad Holmes, he knows how to do this and he does it better than a lot of people right now. So
clearly, very clearly.
But let us know in the comments what you think of this draft. What did we do wrong? Are we a bunch of idiots? I'm sure some people are going to be pissed off, but that's okay.
well,
it's fine. It's fine. But that was fun. That was a lot of fun. And we're going to close the show. We're going to do our prospect of the week, powered by our friends over at Restore. You guys have been hearing me talk about them for months now, and I'm going to keep telling you about them because you got to try them out. Maybe you're an athlete, maybe you've got kids that are athletes or you're like myself or just trying to get back in the gym, whatever you're trying to do, and you're just not recovering like you used to. I got a solution for you. Go check out Restore Hyper Wellness here in Northville in Birmingham, Michigan. Look, my son and I, we both go, we love it. He's a three sport athlete. I'm in the gym a couple times a week and it's changed so much of what we do and our bodies feel right, by visiting Restore. So They've got everything you need, from compressions to cryotherapy, even specialty services such as IV drip therapy. Everything that you need for your body, they've got there. They've got two cryotherapy sessions right now for $30. You can save 50% on your first IV and a whole lot more. If you drop my name, you might even be able to save a little bit, maybe like 10, 20%, something like that. But go check them out. Get a family member, a friend, or even yourself the service you need to restore your body. Tell them I sent you from the Detroit Lions podcast so they can get you taken care of so you can get back and doing more of what you love. Don't wait around. Go check out Restore Hyper Wellness now. So prospect of the week, you are up first, my friend. You've got a wide receiver here that I think is an intriguing name for Lions fans out there.
I changed my mind and I didn't tell you.
Oh, you changed. Well, that's okay. You changed your mind inside your mind. You can't tell me inside your mind.
I should have said it. I should have done something.
That's okay. What do you got?
I could have done, but I'm going with a running back.
Oh, that's right. You did tell me this, actually. I'm an idiot.
Well, let's not get carried away. I mentioned a receiver and a running back. I didn't tell you which way it was. You go first because I'm trying. Well,
I can go first. I got you. So,
okay.
I'm going Renardo Green, the corner out of Florida State. One of my favorite day two picks in this draft. And I have four corners that I just think are fits for Detroit on day two. And I love their skill set. Max Melton out of Rutgers, Renardo Green out of Florida State, Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon, and Cam Hart out of Notre Dame. I think if the Lions ended up with any of those four players, their defensive back room gets better. Renardo Green is my 13th ranked corner. He got a third round grade as my 83rd overall player. 6 foot, 186, ran a sub 4.5 40 at 4.49. So that's a little concerning when you're talking about, but I think Green does a really good job. He can close that gap a little bit. He recovers well. And he's experienced. He can play corner. He has played safety. So I think he can fit here and find a spot in our secondary. The physicality really stands out. He's aggressive at the catch point. I think there's good lateral quickness to him, and it allows him to run in the hip pocket of receivers on in-breaking routes. There are times that he like runs the route for the receiver. So I think it's one of those guys that fits in man coverage, but also in zone coverage. He looks comfortable in cover three and in quarters coverage. I think just Detroit, as we looked at, you know, picks 61, a potential trade out at 73, somewhere in that range on day two, they could find themselves staring at Renardo Green and being like, hey, this guy makes a lot of sense for us. I mean, he was a former track and field kid. He's played 50 games at Florida State. Over 50 games. I think it's like 53 career games. So I think he's a fun player, makes a lot of sense for us. And I think just as a depth piece with probably the idea of really contributing year two, Renardo Green is just he'd be a home run pick, I think, for Detroit.
And it's funny how it works. Cause like when I watched back, this is why the combine sometimes is really cool. Cause when I watched Green and Jerrion Jones, I always thought that Jerrion Jones was bigger than Green, and I just considered Green small, right?
Yeah.
And when I watched Missouri and I looked at Rakestraw and I looked at Abrams Drain, I thought Rakestraw was bigger and Abrams Drain was smaller. And it's like all these guys are relatively the same size.
Yep.
With Rakestraw, he tackles, so that like there's some of that in your brain that you got to fight. Like, all right, if he's willing to hit, that must mean he's bigger. No, it doesn't. So with Green, I think him measuring better than I would have thought, and even in other areas, like I did. I want to say I was on with Jeff Iafredi on the Crunch Time, and I mentioned about him being super small, about Green being super small, and I was wrong because he's clearly bigger than I thought, and he plays. Again, one of the things that's interesting with the corner position, or really any position, is if a player, you consider a player to be small, you got to find plays where he plays small too. Like, show me a player, like if we say Green's too small, show me where he plays like, all right, the length there is a problem, or he won't tackle, or all these, it's hard to find that with him, right? So I think it's one of those things where don't measure it twice. So if we're saying we already know he's a little smaller, we shouldn't then crush him along the way for being small. When he plays fine, when he comes up and he hits, he'll tackle, he'll do all those things. He's physical at the catch point. He does all that stuff. I don't think we should consider him. I mean, the way he measured, he's not a small player, right? So, I would make the same argument for Abrams Drain. Like, you know, he's 100. I want to say he was 179 pounds or whatever it was. That's plenty. He's fine. It's okay. So I would be, you know, if the Lions went about their business and took Green in the second round this year, knowing their history with corners, I would say that that's a really good pick, right? He finds corners. So
yep,
it would be great. And I think Green's film is really good. He's a fun player to watch. He's got all that stuff. It's just, you know, you learn so much along the way that sometimes the things that you think you're seeing, you don't. And
right.
I remember with Jason Verrett, I argued this, like Jason Verrett, this is years ago, was small. He's like 5'9", right? And unfortunately, he's gotten hurt almost every year. And I mean, I don't know how the dude is even walking anymore because he's had ACL reconstruction at least, I think.
Like 9 times.
Yeah, it's just like, it's an endless thing. But I loved him. I loved the way he played because he played big. He did not play small at all. And I would argue it, like, give me a play on his tape where if he was bigger, it would have helped. Right. And it might have been a couple fingertip things where if he had a little longer arms, whatever. So I think that's always an interesting way to look at it. Like if a player plays small, then you can talk about him being small, but not if they don't.
It's good.
Green's good. It's fine. I'm going to go with Tennessee running back Jalen Wright. Now, this is not, I know this is Detroit Lions podcast. There is zero chance that the Lions are taking Jalen Wright. It's going to be.
You never know, though.
Yeah, as I said it, I thought, you know, maybe you eat crow on that one because Holmes would do anything. But he's a Jahmyr Gibbs clone. And, you know, when you watch him, the only thing I think that's missing from his game is a little bit of pass catching in that Tennessee offense. But it's Joe Milton. And, you know, I just don't know how realistic it was to expect him to catch a bunch of passes. So just because he didn't do it in the Tennessee offense this year doesn't mean he can't. But when you look at just the raw measurables, Jalen Wright, well, let's start with Gibbs. Gibbs ran a 4.36, right? Jalen Wright ran 4.38. Gibbs's 10-yard split was 1.52. Wright's was 1.55. Gibbs did not broad jump, but he verticaled 33.5, which is disappointing for, like, you know, for Gibbs. Jalen Wright verticaled 38 inches. His broad jump was 11 feet 2. Super explosive dude.
Yeah.
And then when you watch him run, he does that stuff like Gibbs did last year where, you know, you'd hand him the ball and he'd be off tackle before you knew it. And boom, 10, 12 yard carry. He's so explosive, so quick. And I mean, he's got get up and go like Gibbs does, where he's up to speed instantly. This is more probably a dynasty fantasy take than really anything else, is that we've all been told that the running back class this year is bad. And I don't buy that at all. Like, I think Marshawn Lloyd's a really good player. I think Jonathan Brooks is a really good player. I don't know what to make of Trey Benson. He's clearly very fast. He runs upright, so I think he's going to get banged around a little bit.
TJ Yeldon, that's who he reminds me of.
Yeah.
Trey Benson.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of what I could see him having, that kind of a career, like, you know, a 3 or 4 or 5 year career that just ends quickly because of injuries, right?
Right.
But with Wright, it's just in a traditional sense of handing the ball off and just him making explosive gashed runs. That's him. And
right.
I know Gibbs is awesome. And he was so much fun to watch play out this year. But Jalen Wright is that guy in this class. Not a first round pick. I'm not saying he's a first round pick. But in say round two, if somebody's looking for a complimentary piece and a guy who can just give you chunk plays just as easy as handing the ball to him and letting him go, this is the guy. So
you know where he'd be terrifying would be San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of places where I would dread him ending up. Like Minnesota needs a running back, right? Like,
yeah,
I mean, I know they have Aaron Jones, right? But you need a younger player. You know, Chicago just signed DeAndre Swift, but I don't want Wright ending up in the NFC North.
How about him in Philly? I mean, that would be
dynamic, man. Yes.
That would be the Swift rule, right? I mean, they lost Swift. They need to replace him.
Yeah. I mean, they signed Barkley. So I would expect.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I forgot.
But still, you can give Barkley 100% of the touches. You just can't.
And he's been banged up for like the last 2 years. So,
right. Which is why you can't do it. So if this is the dude that you're bringing in to hand the ball off every once in a while because you need to give Barkley a little rest,
yeah.
and he's Gibbs like, no, thank right. you. Go to the AFC. Get that right. out of the NFC, please. right. You know, but that's my guy for the week.
I think it's a great player to talk about. I'm with you. He's terrifying. I mean, he's a terrifying runner, 0-60, home run threat. And you're right. If he shows that he can pass catch consistently, he's going to get that role for a team, and he's going to be a threat. He's going to be a fun player to watch if he lands in the right spot. So,
yeah.
No, that was fun. What else, got? Anything else? We kind of beat that mock draft faster than I thought.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it was good. We could have went around. We could do it again and go and be more defensive oriented and not make the trade and all that other stuff. Just take it for whatever it's worth. We're going to be back this week. We're going to go what I would consider to be a longer episode. And we're going to talk about just tackles in this class. And we're going to start at the top. And then we're going to break it up, and we're going to go we're going to start with tackles, and then we're going to do another episode that'll come out later in the week on the interior offensive guys, offensive linemen. And then I think the following week, we're going to try to do the exact same thing on receivers and corners. So that's going to be the plan for the next couple weeks. They're going to be longer, probably, I would guess, at least an hour long. A little, you know, stepping a little deeper into the scouting realm of each individual player. Yeah. While also not getting so far in the weeds that they're 3 and 4 hours long. So that's the plan.
Which we could very well do between the two of us.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
I think we'd be surprised. I think people are going to be thrilled that this one's going to be close to an hour. The next one's going to be over an hour. I think people are going to really like it because they do say that during the season. They're like, I hate that this is only 30 minutes. You guys need to do more. So,
yeah. But they'll be good. So we'll be talking in depth on scouting, evaluating the tackle first, and that's the next one. So it'll be good. Yep. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, for more content, you guys can find us on Twitter or X, whatever you call it these days, at RussNFLDraft, at Bischoff_Scott. Of course, you can rate, review, and subscribe to the Detroit Lions podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other podcast platforms. But this was a lot of fun. We did the mock draft. We talked a little Cam Sutton, prospects of the week, powered by our friends over at Restore. We'll be back in the next couple of days talking offensive tackles and some interior offensive linemen as well after that. So you guys just keep chipping away at all this content that we have. I hope you guys keep enjoying it. It's been a lot of fun providing it through the portion of the offseason. So we're looking forward to doing more, but that's it. That's all we got. So he's Scott Bischoff. I'm Russ Brown. We'll be back with another one very soon. You guys take care. This is the Detroit Lions podcast.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Yeah.
Woo! Come on, baby. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3.
You've had enough of that shit.